committee. This is our first meeting of 2021. We're going to start off here with the call of order. I would ask that if we have anybody that's trying to get in, excuse me here, I'm trying to let people in to the meeting. They're being admitted. We're using the Skype platform now for our meetings, and the organizer needs to admit everyone into the meeting, so I'll keep an eye open for people entering into the meeting. So, Sal, Vitko, are you on the line?
Yeah, Gary, I'm here. I can do roll call whenever you want.
Yeah, maybe we want to start roll call, and if anyone adds in to the meeting, we'll admit them, and they can, you know, state their name, what organization they're in. If I could ask everyone, please mute your phones while not speaking. You can hear some feedback right now. If everyone could please kindly mute your phones. So, Sal, I think we're good now to go ahead and ask for roll call.
Okay. So, Gary, you're obviously here. PennDOT Engineering District 3.
Yes, this is Gerald Wirtz, and Chris King is also here.
Thank you. Lycoming County Planning Director?
Here.
Hey, Shannon. Lycoming County Planning Commission member? All right. Todd, I heard you were on the line for River Valley Transit.
Yes.
All right. Williamsport Regional Airport. City of Williamsport Engineer for the New Development Director. Hey, anyone on from Federal Highway Administration?
Yes. Good morning. This is Gene Poroshniak from Federal Highway.
Anyone on from Federal Transit Administration? Anyone on from Fullington Trailways? Any members of the public or anyone else in attendance?
Doug Morosky's on.
Dan Murph with Steps on.
Hey, Dan. Anyone else on the line? Okay. That looks like there's everybody, Gary.
As per the bylaws, we do have, I think I heard we have enough to have a quorum, correct?
I believe so, yes. We have four.
Yeah, we have four. That's a quorum.
Yep. Okay, well, then we can start off the meeting. First agenda item are the minutes from the October 26th, 2020 Technical Committee meeting. They would be included in your packet. Do we have any questions on the minutes as presented in the packet? Not hearing any questions or comments, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I'll make that motion. This is Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon. We have a motion by Shannon. Do we have a second?
This is Gerald Wirtz. I second.
Thank you, Gerald. All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That sounds like four ayes, so I don't think we have any noes. Motion passes. Thank you. Next agenda item, we have public comment. Is there anyone on from the public that would like to present any comments at this time? Not hearing any comments, so we'll move on. At the end, if somebody enters the meeting or would like to comment also, they can do that under other business public comment at the end of the meeting. We'll move forward. Action items. Our first action item is the TIP amendment. Reaffirm the e-ballot recommendation to coordinating committee to approve. I'm going to hand it over to Scott.
Thanks, Kerry. Good morning, everyone. So this first item that I have for your approval is a reaffirmation of the e-ballot that we did last month for a TIP amendment. As you'll recall, I emailed you all back on November 30th to vote via e-ballot to recommend approval of a TIP amendment on the 21-24 Watts TIP to change the funding source of the construction phase of MPMS number 99038 to federal funding. This project is a bridge improvement on State Route 2014, that's Lycoming Mall Drive, over Bennett's Run in Fairfield Township. The motion was approved by e-ballot and recommended to the coordinating committee, who also voted via e-ballot to approve the amendment. So now I just need the committee to reaffirm that e-ballot vote.
Thank you, Scott. Do I have a motion to reaffirm?
Chairman Quartz.
Thank you, Gerald. Do I have a second?
Todd Wright.
Thank you, Todd. All in favor of the motion? Say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. I heard four ayes. Thank you, everyone. And again, the recommendation will go to the coordinating committee for their, approval again on January 26th, the coordinating committee meeting. Next item is a bylaws amendment recommendation to coordinating to approve. Scott?
Yes, so the next item that I have for you for review and discussion is a draft amendment to the Watts bylaws. So included in the packet is a copy of the Watts bylaws. There are some sections highlighted. Those have been changed or added. At our last meeting, I informed you all that the Lycoming Sullivan Boroughs Association has dissolved. So that organization has been a member of the Watts Coordinating Committee per the Watts bylaws. But since the organization no longer exists, we have to come up with a new approach. We would like to maintain representation for Lycoming County's nine boroughs on the Coordinating Committee. So right now, the Lycoming County Township Supervisors Association is a membership organization on the Coordinating Committee, and the City of Williamsport has representation. But without Lycoming Sullivan Boroughs Association, we don't have any borough representation. So we've been looking at that since the last meeting, and we've come up with an approach that we think is viable, and we'd like to present it to you for your review and input on it. So we also, at the same time, reviewed the bylaws the whole way through just to see if there are any other sections that need to be cleaned up. So as you look through... Some of those areas are highlighted as well. So the major new language in the bylaws is regarding borough representation. It can be found on page 12 of the meeting packet in the PDF. Our proposed solution is that every 2 years, the Watts secretary, myself, will contact all nine boroughs in Lycoming County, engage their interest in participating in the coordinating committee. We will then present the interested boroughs in a recommendation to you, the technical committee, who will then nominate a borough to represent the interest of all boroughs in the county to serve on the Watts Coordinating Committee. Now, that's a really important consideration, is that borough for 2 years will be agreeing basically to represent the interest of all the boroughs, not just themselves on the committee. We also constructed this language so that if this nominating and approval process gets hung up in any way, an appointed borough will continue to serve until a new appointment occurs. So we won't have a vacancy, like if somebody's term runs out. They just continue to serve until someone else gets reappointed. We also added some language to the bylaws specifying that the coordinating technical committees will set their meeting schedule for the upcoming calendar year and the last meeting of the year. So we've been doing that by practice for years, but I thought it would be important to actually formalize that in our bylaws, that we will do that. That last meeting of the year will set our meeting schedule for the upcoming year. The other major change in the bylaws that wasn't just sort of a cleanup is there's now an additional section, Section 3 or Article 4, which is on page 16 of the meeting packet. So this new section clarifies that a majority vote of the coordinating committee is sufficient to alter the membership of the Watts committee, of any Watts committee. So we actually didn't have that language in there before, but it's important to have that in there if we're going to start changing the composition of the committees. And as it's come up recently, especially when we've gone to remote meetings, I added some language into the bylaws clarifying, just because it wasn't in there before, but we had in language already that the committee chairs are vote only in the matter of in the situation where there's a tie. But I added a line in there saying that, that just clarifying that the committee chairs, the coordinating committee and the technical committee, do in fact count when we're setting, you know, trying to meet a quorum for a meeting, because that wasn't in there, and I just wanted to put that in. So now I'd like to hear what the committee has to say about this proposed solution for borough representation.
Hey, Scott, Mark.
Yes.
If I understand this correctly, you're going to contact all nine boroughs to see who would, just getting a universe of interest at that point. And what happens if you, so that if you have, say, three of the boroughs say, yeah, we would want to be considered, is it totally discretionary of the coordinating committee to pick a winner? And what would happen if another borough would object to whatever we're doing? Let's say they don't want borough A, you know, to, you know, have this person, and they'd rather have somebody else. Since they don't have an association, they really don't have any kind of due process collectively, so they would have to act individually to oppose something.
Right. So, Mark, the way that we have it worded here in the draft for the bylaws is that, yeah, I will contact all nine boroughs to gauge their interest. I then make a recommendation to the technical committee, who will make a nomination to the coordinating committee, and the coordinating committee will either vote to accept or not accept the nomination of the technical committee. So, in other words, I'll talk to the boroughs and see who's interested. I'll then, you know, and that's, you know, a back and forth process. It isn't just going to be, hey, do you want to do this? Like, if they indicate interest, there's going to be a conversation then, going over what the expectations are, what the content of the meetings is, clarifying that they're expected to represent the interest of all the boroughs and not just their own interest. And if they're still interested, then all of the interested boroughs will then be presented to the technical committee, who will then nominate one of them, and then the coordinating committee then votes to approve that nomination or not. So we're going to, in effect, we're going to have two public meetings, a technical committee meeting and a coordinating committee meeting, to discuss that appointment. So if the boroughs feel really strongly about it, they'll have two public forums where we can discuss that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, Scott, this is Kerry. One thing I was thinking about it, as you were discussing there about, you know, going out and talking to the boroughs and see who wants to be the appointee if we have maybe more than one. Even if you have more than one, you know, in December of each year, we could say, hey, you know, we're going to put on this borough, you know, for 2021, and then in, you know, in December, we get there, we discuss this, and there's another borough that's interested. We add those, and it almost becomes like a, we can add people as we go. And those boroughs that are interested in the technical committee and coordinating committees, even if they're not a member, maybe it shows interest and they can start attending the meetings just as somebody from the public, you know, to get a feel of what the MPO does.
Yeah, Terry, you can rotate among those who are interested. So if Scott Blake finds out that four of them are interested, okay, but we've got to pick a winner. So we pick a winner. We can let the ones we didn't pick but were interested, we can kind of say, okay, in the next round, after 2 years of service, then we're going to go to this borough who's interested. And then after the 2 years, then that borough. In other words, you know, we can rotate among those who are interested. And those who aren't interested, well, they don't have, we're not forcing anybody's participation. But if they choose to change their mind during the rotation, then we can just add them on, you know, later on. But at least those who are interested are always, you know, they might feel confident that it just, they're just going to wait their turn and then they'll get their chance.
We could also add an alternate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on that topic too, Mark, the other piece that's added in here in the bylaws in this draft is that if a borough is appointed for a two-year term, they can't serve another consecutive term unless there's interest from no other boroughs, right? So,
right,
you know,
right.
If we appoint a borough and they, you know, we had like two that were very interested and we appoint one, at the end of their term, you know, basically the other borough gets a shot at it, guaranteed. That we won't just have like a borough that just gets reappointed all the time, and there are other ones that are very
right.
interested. Now, you know, I would like to say I would love that if we get into that situation where we have that much interest. I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Scott. Do we have any other questions or comments on the bylaw amendment? So, Scott, if we approve this amendment, the technical committee, it would go to the coordinating committee for their approval. I think after we vote here and if we approve it, what we should do is send this bylaws amendment out to the committee before we send out the packet as a separate item and include it in the packet just so they get to look at it, you know, maybe this week instead of, like, you know, the next week. Gives them a little extra time to just review it.
Sounds good. I will do that.
Okay, if I'm not hearing any other questions or comments on the bylaws amendment, do I have a motion to approve the bylaw amendments and recommend them to go to the coordinating committee for approval by technical committee? Shannon, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Todd. Any questions or comments on the motion? And second? Hearing none? All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, it sounds like we had four ayes, so the ayes have it. A motion passes, and Scott will be sending that along to the coordinating committee meeting. Thank you. Next agenda item is the performance measures 1, 2, and 3, targets for 2021, recommendation to coordinating committee to authorize Watts secretary to sign and return. Scott?
Yes, so this is a recommendation of the coordinating committee to authorize me to sign and return our performance measure documentation for 2021. So there are three sets of performance measures stemming from federal transportation bills. We have our PM1 safety measures, our PM2 system condition measures, which are pavement and bridge conditions, and PM3 system reliability measures. So these performance measures apply to PennDOT statewide. As an MPO, we can either support PennDOT's statewide targets by incorporating them into our planning and programming, which is what we've been doing, and very successfully as well. Or we could set up our own more stringent targets, but then we'd be on the hook for meeting them and tracking them. My recommendation to the committee is that we continue to support the statewide performance measure targets. So I would like a recommendation from this committee to the coordinating committee authorizing me to sign and return the documentation that we will continue to support the statewide targets. I also included in the packet some data on the safety performance measures. Now, traditionally with the system conditions and system reliability, we've been very, very good on our targets. We've met and exceeded those targets. But with safety, we've been a little closer. And I believe this is the first time where we've had a couple that for basically our share locally of the statewide targets where we haven't quite met them. So that's just something we want to keep in mind as we're doing our planning and programming here locally, is we want to make sure that we're keeping those safety performance measure targets in mind as we're doing our next long-range transportation plan update and doing our next TIP. And that's all I have on PMs.
I was going to say, do we have any questions for Scott on the performance measures targets? And Gene, I don't know if Federal Highways wants to speak on it at all either.
Thanks, Terry. No, at this time, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, and as Scott mentioned, this is, it's each MPO and RPO in the state of Pennsylvania does have the ability to create their own targets. But to meet those targets, and when you create those, it becomes more difficult than just following the statewide performance targets.
Are there any other MPOs that are doing their own targets right now? And if so, what's their experience?
Mark, I don't think there is any for pavement and bridge. There was talk that maybe the Southwestern Commission out in the Pittsburgh area and District 12 in the southeast or southwest part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at it, and I don't think it ever really came about yet.
Yeah.
And I've talked to other MPO RPOs, and this seems to be the way to go to meet those targets that we have.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always thought it was. since day one when it started. But okay, thanks.
Do I have any other questions or comments on the performance measures? If I'm not hearing any comments, do I have a motion to adopt the PM1, 2, and PM3 performance measure targets for 2021, recommending that they go to coordinating committee for signature and return? Do I have a motion?
And Gerald Wirtz.
Thank you, Gerald. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Shannon. Any questions, comments on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I think I heard four ayes, so the ayes have it. Thank you. And, Scott, I guess the due date on those to be returned is sometime in March. So, you know, after coordinating committee, I think it's an electronic submission. Just keep it on your radar to submit.
Yeah, I was going to go ahead and submit those as soon as we got approval from the coordinating committee. So we'll have them in by the end of the month.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move along here. We're going to get into discussion items. The management action report, and this is going to be presented by Chris King.
Thanks, Gary.
Three. Yep.
Thanks, Gary. There's a number of items on this particular report. I'll just briefly run through them, and then if you have any questions, once I'm done, we can talk about them. 2039-09S Lick Run Slide, that's Warren Hill Road. We had a lower than estimated final design cost, as well as utility costs, so we were, that's just a moving money to the line item from there. The next project is a local bridge rehab in Upper Fairfield Township. Construction estimate went up considerably due to more deterioration found during the design investigations. The next project is the Muncie traffic signal installation. We did not have a right-of-way phase program that's adding that. Same for the next project is the Muncie Bridge on 405 over Glade Run, adding the right-of-way phase. That was my dog coughing. The next project is, again, Warrenville Road, reducing the right-of-way phase estimate to the new estimate. We have a few projects here where we're adding final design for our in-house staff to do final design on a couple maintenance site projects. Campbell, the Basin Street, is the section that we were going to reconstruct, but we downscoped it to a resurfacing. We added a small utility phase for that project. You see a reduction for the 405 final design funding. Then we have a small PE increase on a small bridge on State Route 2004 in Washington Township. The next project is a series of floods. This is from a 2018 flood events. These are adding federal flood funds to the Watts tip. Doesn't affect any of your local funding. The next item is the 2014-095 construction increase we talked about. And then we have added utility phase for those two Muncie projects as well. That's basically the final item. So if anybody has any questions on any of them, just let me know now or after the meeting.
Chris, this is Kerry, and I just want to say to the committee, I spoke to our Federal Highways Rep, Gene Prochniak, who's on the call, and you know, in the past, before we went to working from home, you know, I used to put together a fiscal constraint chart that summarized all these projects, and you could tell what funding flavors were used and whatnot. And since we start working from home, my bandwidth, I couldn't be able to run the report to put these, put the fiscal charts together. So as the group, talked last year, we decided to use this report to show our management actions. Gene just asked that we were more descriptive in our narrative, and he could see, you know, what funding flavors were being used if they were, you know, federal dollars. So you're going to see in 2021, as we continue to use this report, you will see a more descriptive narrative. As you can see, if you were looking at your packet, I've tried to, since I had the call with Gene, clean it up a little bit. As we see, the management action we did for Bennett's Run, we have, you know, I put in there increased by, decreased by, just showing a little more description. So it'll be a little bit easier and to read, and I'm going to have a meeting with Chris in the district, his staff, and we're just going to talk about some of these things today, just about, you know, the descriptions and how we're going to add them in. So I just wanted to let everyone know that. If anybody have any questions for Chris? Hearing none, we don't need a motion for this, so we can just move along here. Next agenda item is the Act 106 personal delivery devices. Scott?
Yeah, so I included in the packet for everyone an information sheet from PennDOT on Act 106, which was approved by the legislature last fall. It goes into effect January 30th, 2021. So Act 106 authorizes personal delivery devices, PDDs. So these are essentially, they're delivery robots. And Act 106, like, sets limits on the size of them. The maximum size on them is about 32 inches wide by about 42 inches long. They can be up to 6 feet tall. They can weigh up to 550 pounds. Act 106 classifies these robots specifically as being pedestrians, and they have to operate according to all pedestrian regulations in the vehicle code. There are some exceptions, though, to that. They have to yield right away to any pedestrians or cyclists, and they are allowed to operate in the roadway under certain conditions. And according to the legislation, these PDDs can travel up to 25 miles per hour or more when they're operating a roadway. So I did just want to bring this up to the committee and really just get some opinions on it from the members of the committee. So I know that PennDOT is looking for comment on this before it goes into effect, but I just wanted to see if anyone on the committee has any thoughts on this. I don't necessarily know that we'll see these here locally anytime in the near future, but you never know. I just don't really know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this?
Scott, this is Carrie.
My
girlfriend took her daughter out to visit some colleges. I don't know if it was Ohio State or Purdue. It was one of them. But she had shown me a video when they were on touring the campus. They had these little delivery vehicles, and they actually deliver food, like an Uber Eats type of deal, or what's the other one, DoorDash, or Grubhub, whatever the other one is. But they actually would, these little, you know, vehicles would come to the dorm room, and, you know, people came out, and they punched a code in, and it opened up, and they could pull their food out. And then the little machine went down the street back to, you know, wherever, I can't remember what, if it was Jimmy John's or one of those, but I saw the video. I was pretty impressed. Thought it was pretty cool. So I don't know if anybody else has any comments.
I could see that as being a great thing for like a college campus setting or a larger city, possibly. But in most of the cities that I'm familiar with, the sidewalk system is not in sufficient repair that I think that it would work.
Yeah, I agree. And if it ever became more of an issue, you're also going to have to look at all the local ordinances. You know what I mean? It could be in a motor vehicle code. It could be state codified, but then the local ordinances have to be consistent with the state law. And we've had issues in the past on other types of pedestrian stuff. In fact, you know, Scott remembers we had a couple years ago a very big dialogue with the city when we were doing our Bike Ped initiative with them about looking at the city ordinance to make sure that things could be enforceable, you know. And so it would be quite involved if it ever came to a more generalized city street usage. But I agree with Shannon. I mean, if you look at the condition of our sidewalks in some of our neighborhoods, I don't know how in the world you'd ever get these vehicles to function on them.
Well, Mark and Shannon, you guys bring up another good point that I just thought of here. If they're in a large crowd of people,
mm-hmm.
could this be used in some sort of attempted terrorist attack? Or, you know, if it's filled with explosives, could it be used to do damage to something? So the security side of it, is that, you know, it's just a thought that came up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I kind of thought about when I was looking at this was that...
I'm just saying, your guess is as good as mine on that.
The other thing that I was thinking when I was looking at this, though, I mean, you mentioned the sidewalk conditions being like sort of a prohibiting factor on operating these things. But, you know, I'd like to think that we would, you know, maintain our pedestrian network for, you know, pedestrians. But, you know, this might potentially provide some impetus to doing some improvements to the pedestrian network now that you have, you know, huge corporations that are pouring money into operating these PDDs, you know, that might provide a little bit more push to keep the, you know, sidewalk, crosswalk networks in better condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does look like in Act 106 that municipalities do have the authority to prohibit the use of these. By ordinance. So if there's a municipality that doesn't want to see these, they can do like some sort of ordinance to prohibit their use.
Right.
Do I have any other comments or discussion that they'd like to speak about on this matter with Scott? Scott, I guess you are going to submit some comments. On this, I think the comments are due January 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up here with this committee, you know, our technical advisement committee for Watts, to see if anyone had any opinions or input on it. But yeah, I'm going to be working on some comments to submit on this. So if anyone has any...
Was there anything in there like about permit fees, if they're allowed, if you could have a use fee or whatever for them that could be used to improve sidewalks or ramps or anything?
I didn't see anything in the info sheet about that, but I could look through the legislation, and if there's nothing in there about that, that would be a very good comment to submit.
Yeah, another thing. We might, I don't know, Carrie, have you been talking to CEDACOG with their new, you know, Middle Susquehanna Bike Committee they have? Are they planning on commenting, or should we be coordinating with them on maybe joint comments?
That's not a bad idea, Mark. Jim and I discussed it the other day. He was going to submit some comments. So maybe Scott wants to reach out to Jim and get a feel on how you guys want to do that. I'm fine with that. Any other comments on the Act 106? If I'm not hearing any, we'll move on. Other business, public comment. Mark, would you like to just give an update on the Mark and Scott, maybe CSVT study on how that's going under this section?
We had our second steering committee meeting in the middle of December. It went pretty well. We allowed for much more input from the steering committee about, especially about anything that they might be aware of on significant developments, you know, land development type of stuff in the region. We didn't end up getting like a whole lot of revelations of new development or anything. But there were some things that were pointed out that we were sort of running the ground, like, maybe doing more coordination with water and sewer authorities, not only in our county, but in some of the CEDACOG member counties, to see if any investments or plans that they're doing to extend sewer service to certain developable areas, what kind of effects would that happen to allow those types of developments to occur more quickly than they otherwise would, which then would have an impact on our traffic. So we basically fine-tuned our land use scenarios based on that meeting, and then we had another where we have our internal working group meetings with the consultant, Michael Baker. So they're doing that work. They're also inputting the other types of data, like woods and pull for economic data and our population data and looking at our cost lands and things. And so they're kind of finalizing their land use forecast, if you will. And then we will be running traffic information here very soon on the land use scenario, partial full build-out scenarios over time. So it's going quite well. It's on schedule, I would say, for the most part. And the steering committee is giving us the kind of input we're looking for. And, we're just making sure that we're coordinating with the MPO on the progress of this, not just giving them one shocker at the end, here's the report kind of thing. So, and the participation's been good. The steering committee, most of the members are participating. There are a couple people we might not have heard from as much as we want to, but the chambers have been good and all that. So, we're making a lot of progress on that. Scott, I don't know other things you might want to bring up.
No, I don't really have anything additional. You covered everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Anything from RVT, the transit side, on anything they'd like to report under public comment or what's going on?
I don't really have anything new to discuss since the last meeting. Things are still slow for us due to COVID and dealing with the pandemic, but nothing new to report since the last meeting.
Thank you, Todd. I think we have Dan Merck on the line from Steps. Dan, would you like to report on anything at the time?
Nothing. I'm more along the lines of Todd. We're still fighting with the pandemic and the COVID and reduction in trips that way, but we're still staying still fairly active considering. But nothing else really new to report this time.
Thank you, Dan. Anybody else from the public that like to comment on anything? Okay, before we adjourn, if I don't hear any comments, we will have be using the Teams platform, Microsoft Teams platform, for the foreseeable future for our meetings. The PennDOT, well, the governor's office has issued to the state employees from the Office of Administration that we will be considered working virtual or teleworking from home until at least June 30th, 2021. So I would expect that these virtual meetings that we're having over the phone continue until the foreseeable future. So this is the way it's going to be here for a couple of months and maybe even longer. So I wouldn't expect any in-person meetings. Unless, of course, the district, I think they're able to have in-person meetings outdoors. They're looking at a problem, you know, an issue out in the field. I don't think there's any face-to-face meetings in the district's office either. This will be what we're using, and if I don't have any other public comment or any other business, I think we discussed everything we need to discuss. I think our next meeting is May 3rd, Scott?
Yeah, that sounds right. Hold on, let me pop that open.
This is Sal. It's the next tech meeting is April 26th. The next coordinating committee is May 10th.
Okay. I knew it was somewhere around there. So our next meeting will be Monday, April 26th, 2021 at 10 a.m. It will be virtual, and you'll be receiving your information, a week beforehand. So thanks to Scott and his staff and everyone for participating, and if I have a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Gerald. It sounded like everybody just wanted to stay on the phone this morning for a little bit there. Do I have a second?
Second
by Todd and Shannon. All right. Thank you. We will talk again on April 26th. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you.